against Kyle and it shall be white as snow. Oh, God, let it be red as crimson, it shall be white as wool. We thank you for the bleach that can bring out of the molecule of sin, dear God. Strike back upon the accuser, and we can stand justified today. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. This great grace has come to us at evening time. Blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. All over the building, all over the rooms, wherever you are, in respect and reverence to his great mighty presence. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We bow our hearts before you. In humility, with thanksgiving and praise, O God. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh, God, who are we that a king should bleed and die for? He would pray, not my will, but thine, Lord. Oh, God. To know, Lord, that you endured the cross because you looked at the joy that was set before you. You loved us, Lord, and you desired to see us stand in liberty where we can enjoy this great inheritance that you have given unto us. As sons, blessed be your wonderful name. As we gather in here this evening, come in, oh God, into your courts with praise, remembering you, dear Lord. Oh God, remembering, Lord, and how you were so willing to lay down your life for us. You despise the shame. No matter how they humiliate you and ridicule you, belittle you. Lord, you desire to do it for us with so much stronger. That nothing, oh God, that the enemy could bring could have influenced you to change your mind. You knew that we had need of it, oh God. You desire, oh God, that we be reconciled back to you. That we be in union with you again, Lord. That meant so much to you, no matter what it was going to cost to achieve it. Lord, you will take it, oh God, that when you are finished, you'll be so secure the devil will have no claim upon it. You spoil principalities and powers. You nail them and write the ordinances those against us to that tree. And you become a curse, Lord, when you're hung on that tree. But here we are today singing your praise. Here we are today offering ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, knowing that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price, desiring to give you rights of ownership over us, O God. Lord, humbling ourselves and coming in submission to your revealed will, Father. Oh God, let every heart be so filled with the divine love that, oh God, there'll be no resistance, there'll be no unwillingness. But, oh God, rather, Lord, everyone, Lord God, would come in full total subjection, in full surrender, saying, Jesus, be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. That if we would have a million lives, we'd give them all to you this evening. Because you are worthy of it, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord God, you made a new and living way through your blood. When that veil of your flesh was rented, oh God, that we can come, Father, and have access to the tree of life once again. That we can come right into your most holy presence. Lord God, to stand, Lord, in union with you, Lord, just as though we never did sin. How could our human mind comprehend this? Oh God, but we are grateful, Father. Lord, we are thankful this evening. May you bless each and every one, Father. Oh, God, we think of what you had to submit to, Lord. And Lord God, you couldn't just say you forgive us, Lord, but the price had to be paid, Father, because of your holiness, because of your justice. That you are divine judge, just as though you are divine savior. But Lord God, you showed by that very act laying down your life that you desire for us to have these things. No wonder the songwriter says the love of God so rich and pure, so measureless and strong. Oh God, to see that where all the oceans ink and all every man on earth is cried by trade and every Lord tree, a branch of quill, to write every man has cried by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky. Jesus, let the effects of that love be ever upon us, Lord. May today, even as we come and gather, we can truly enter in and keep this feast. We can truly understand what it means to have this fellowship with you and how to live in the privileges and the benefits that you made secure for us, that we truly can show forth your victory. Oh, gracious God, lead our soul into these truths. Let our hearts be strengthened in this great day. That, Lord, all that you've done will not be weak inside of us. It is not weak, but we can live in such a way as that we can make it weak, Father. Yet, oh God, with the power of the revelation your Spirit can give to us, and we are willing to open our hearts and humble ourselves, we can live until you said the works that you do shall we do also even greater than those. Almighty God, have your blessed way among us. Bless all those gathered here today. Those that are gathered not out in the different lands where our brothers and sisters are. Gracious God, may you bless them likewise. Do the exceedingly abundantly of the big ones in Nadans and Vincent and Guyana and Suriname and Lord God around this world, dear God. We all as Christians, as believers, part of the redeemed. God, we come aside today, Lord, to remember what you did for us. That it will not lose its effect, Father. Grant it, oh God. May there be such a deliverance in here tonight, if there's any that is bound, and that might be cold, and that might be discouraged, and that might, Lord, be desiring, oh God, to get a grip on you, Lord, to see a greater love of God shed abroad in their heart tonight, that they can come to a full, complete surrender. Jesus, may you grant it. Grant it, we pray, Father. We ask all these mercies to us and direct us in their few thoughts. Prepare our hearts and bring us to your kingdom. We truly can keep this peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for your honor and for your glory. Amen. I want to welcome you all in the house of God tonight. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Leviticus 23, we read from verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Because they had each feast had a time and season for it to be observed. And it couldn't be observed outside that time and season. In the 14th day of the first month at evening, that evening, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. 7 days had to be an offering made by fire. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work herein. Lord bless you, you can have a seat. Let's turn to Exodus 12. We'll read from verse 1. Because in Leviticus, it gives you the order of the feast, and the times, the seasons that these feasts were to be observed. There was appointed times and appointed seasons. Because the Bible says to every purpose under heaven is a time and a season. A time to be born and a time to die. Jesus had a time to be born. Jesus had a time to die. And so, his birth into this world, the incarnation, a virgin shall conceive. The beginning of the new creation, God creating a body. Body without sex. A new blood. Because all the blood in the world was polluted. In Adam we all die. But by a new blood, by a new creation, a new birth could come to man. And so, in that time to be born, he came to the virgin birth, the woman receiving the seed that was to bruise the serpent's head. And then, the time came when that blood cell had to be broken. Because though he was a perfect man, his perfection couldn't save us as long as he stayed alive. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission to sin. So, he didn't born to just live, he born to die. Unto this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world. That's why he was born the Lamb of God. Because he came to be a sacrifice, to lay down his life, as a kinsman redeemer, to pay the price for our redemption. That's what this day means to us. The Lamb was slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. When there wasn't a molecule, when there wasn't a star, when there wasn't an atom, when there was nothing, when only God existed. Your name, if you are a Christian tonight, a real Christian, was put in that book. The Lamb was slain in the mind of God. It was God's purpose. This is how he was going to unfold the mystery of his great self. I will express his nature and show his love. Show the essence of his being. Who he is and what he is. How he desired to share his life with man. To make himself known to his children. And that he might express all his great attributes. Way back there in the eternities. You were there. It was God's purpose to die. Then the hour came when it had been made manifest. And so Jesus actually had to go to Golgotha to manifest what was purpose in the mind of God. What done through 4,000 years in the Old Testament of man's history. So many lambs were offered up. So many sacrifices were made, but all spoke of that supreme sacrifice that we made one day. Then just before he went to the cross, he took the bread and he took the wine, and he revealed to them, this is my body that will be broken for you. This is my blood that will be shed. And he began to open to them. They who were Jews, they who kept this Passover, which had its origin when they were being delivered from a bondage that they were born into in Egypt. That's when it was first given as an ordinance. That's when they first had it. That's when God did something different to mark time and made April the beginning of months for those people. This will be the beginning of months for you. When a prophet who is given two signs to confirm his commission, a prophet who was sent for their deliverance, a prophet who is going to reveal the plan of God and how they must cooperate with that plan in order to be delivered from a bondage that they were born into. All these things God was unfolding in a shadow, giving it out in an amateur form, because that was not the reality, because there's still a greater bondage than that to be delivered from. It was still going to take a greater lamb than that lamb. It was still going to take a greater prophet and a greater message than that prophet. But God was doing this so that when the time comes, it will be thoroughly understood. It will not be missed, because God has given a pattern of this thing as it unfolds, as God was making known his mystery. That's why to live in this age and to miss what is happening is to be lost. To have all the religion and go to all the church and pray all the prayers and miss what is happening is to be lost. Because what is happening in this day is the substance, is the reality of what God did in a shadow back in Bible days. This is the age that we have people that will come to the full complete redemption without even seeing death. That the whole purpose of God, the whole achievement of God, will be fulfilled in the lives of people on the earth tonight. What a great thing to realize, to recognize that in this day, in this hour, under this message, that reality is taking place if you are an elected believer. It's already going on inside of you if you are an elected believer. You are in the Exodus. You have seen the prophet. You have seen the two signs. You have seen the pillar of fire. You have seen the cloud. You have seen the lamb. It's evening time. Amen. We have the 11th bread. There's a reality. There's a reality. This was a new thing. This was a new thing to them. They were understanding that prophet was the mouthpiece of God. They were understanding that God was making his thoughts in the back of their mind known to them through the mouth of that prophet. They were understanding that prophet there was God to them. He was reflecting God to them. Moses was Christ. He was born for their deliverance. He was a proper child from birth. The enemy tried to kill him, just like Jesus. Burn into the earth for their deliverance. Take them out of bondage. Because God was laying the picture. God was fulfilling his word. When this was being communicated to them, no doubt, they look on that bread with a reverence. No doubt, they ate them bitter herbs. They didn't choose what they wanted to eat. They were told what they should eat. And they were told why they should eat it, and when they should eat it, and when they should observe it, and what they should tell the children about it. It was a supper. It was an evening time. It had to do with something of Christ and their deliverance. Because remember, man ate from the wrong tree that caused the fall. Now man was going to feed on something that was going to bring deliverance from a bondage. It was something that was happening. It was all new to them. But because there was a chosen people, Because they were ordained for that. To receive such a message at such a time, by such a messenger. That message coming unto them in such a condition that they were in. A condition that they desired to be released from. A condition where they couldn't live and manifest the full purpose of God. That prophet was sent to break that bondage and deliver them that they could be the people of God. God was laying a picture. God was making a type. God was setting up his economy so it would be understood in the last days. And then it was going to be instituted among them as an ordinance. Whenever the times and season come, they have to remember that. If you're the elect of God, you were in the mind of God when the Lamb of God was slain. You can't be an elect of God and don't know the Lamb of God was slain. You can't be an elect of God and miss your message in your day. Your existence, the purpose of your existence is tied to our age, to our messenger, to our message. You're coming a certain season. You're given an ear to hear what the Spirit is going to say through your messenger. And that messenger was to bring the mystery of the Lamb, because the 7 eyes of the Lamb was the messengers. The Lamb had 7 horns with 7 H's and 7 eyes with 7 messengers. And in those 7 H's, the names in the Lamb's book of life, who the Lamb died for, was there. They were going to hear that message. You're born in your age, but the hand of God moves you, even though you don't understand. The purpose of God must be made known to you, because God will see to it, because he put you here for fellowship. He put you here for his glory, and you can't serve his purpose until you understand why he put you here. And you understand your relationship to this Lamb. Because you have no life outside the Lamb. Your life is in the Lamb. In him is life, and his life is the light of men. Outside of that, you're dead in sin and trespasses. You shut up in the world, in the kingdom of Satan. But because of the Lamb, you're taken out. Amen. There's a resurrection for you. To raise you up into heavenly places. To bring you to another knowing. God's purpose in your life, there was going to be death and resurrection. And it was in God's purpose that the Lamb was going to be tied to death and resurrection. And it was in God's purpose, he's going to have a feast to have to do with death and resurrection. So you can understand the purpose and stay under the influence of that purpose as you keep those feasts. That keeps you in the channel of your purpose, of God's purpose, of which you are a part. And that's why it's great for you. It's not just church, it's not just religion. It's a moving of God in your life because of election. It's a drawing. That means no man can come to the Father, first draw him. And all the Father has given pastors will come. Because they were chosen in Christ and predestinated unto the adoption of children. And the name was put in the book. No matter how long you go in amnesia because of who you are, he's going to come to you in life journey. He's going to cross your path and arrest you. He'll call you by your real name and you will answer. When you call, you will answer. You will hear your name and you will answer. Because the same voice that called Lazarus and he had to answer. Amen. The same voice that calls you and you have to answer. You say, my Father, my Creator. Amen. You're calling me. I'm understanding. Something inside of me tells me that the voice of my Papa. Yes, sir. He put something down in you that can give you a knowing beyond the mental faculty that you put in your physical body. That knowing, don't tell it, doesn't know how you know, but you just know. Can't explain how you know, but you know. And when you know that knowing, it changes you. It brings faith. It gives you power. It makes you positive. And you talk with the confidence because you know as you will know now. You try to know you are part of Him. You have to know you're born to serve Him. You have to know He put you here for His glory. And He's come to get you. And you know that. And nobody can take that away from you. That's a great thing. Could you imagine a group of people like this with that going on inside of them? How much power is inside this room? Do you really know that knowing? Can you comprehend that? So all of this was new to them. But it was good for a prophet. And it was coming at a time when deliverance was being wrought. You catch that? They were keeping this to remain in bondage, you know. When they feasted on this, they were coming out of a bondage and they couldn't come out all their lives. It was being broken. Amen. Let my people go. Amen. Amen. He was breaking the chain in the enemy. He said, Lord, go home. Go, go. Amen. Because the enemy was afraid of destruction by holding them people any longer. What an atmosphere they were under. Could you imagine when the reality of that began to come to pass at the end of the age? When they subsidized the first Exodus. First Exodus and the second Exodus was a type of the third Exodus. God perfected in three. Is in this day, all what was in part there and in shadow comes to reality. And if just before they went out, that was the atmosphere. Could you imagine what it is in this hour? Keeping that feast. Understanding. You've been called to keep the feast under this message. And in this feast, there's protection, there's security, there's preservation, there's justification, there's no death can touch you in this feast. In this feast is a lamb that already died for you and take your punishment. In this feast. Could you imagine those who can't keep this feast with a position? But if you keep this feast, if you understand what you're keeping, they're going to keep that feast though the prophet is there. You're going to keep that feast outside the evening time? When the evening light had to come? When the lamb had to die at evening time? When it was dark, it was on the earth and upon the peoples? But the children of Israel had light in the presence. When death was moving to the land and striking everything outside that token. Could you imagine? But they could keep it. Is that the same kind of hour? Is God's darkness and the earth upon the people? Yes. Which arise and shine, your light is come. Amen. God's darkness and the earth, but you have light in your dwellings. Is it evening time? It shall be light at evening time. Amen. Have you seen the prophet? Did he? Was he told, you'll be given two signs like the prophet Moses to confirm his commission? Did he receive a messenger that was anointed and commissioned? Did he come and show the signs to confirm he was commissioned? Amen. That we might be able to believe that's the messenger. Amen. And did we hear the message at evening time? Amen. And did we see judgment taking out the uncircumcised, taking out all those who refused to obey that prophet? Shock So you see what a time it is? Passover. Exodus 12. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. What is God's purpose? You mean God changed the whole calendar for one group of people? And since God don't get new thoughts and can't learn nothing or act his knowledge, then thou is fixing the purpose of God. And if the beginning of months for them, in other words, God said, this is the starting place. This is your beginning. What is my beginning? A slain lamb. How many know that's the beginning of every Christian? Remember, no matter what you are, you will be 80 years old, you start right back there. You can be a Christian all your life, fundamental Christian, organizational Christian, but if God has to deal with you, God has to bring you and start you there. You can go to the seminary, you can be acolyte, you can do all the things, you can burn a million candles all your life and conform and everything else, but if God's going to start with you, all of the race, you're going to start right there where the slain lamb is. Behold the lamb that take away your sin. Amen. That's right. That's where he deals with every man. This shall be the first month of the year unto you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. First thing we learn is, this lamb has salvation for the whole house. In God's mind, the household can be saved by this lamb. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household shall be. Rehabana household in Egypt, and their household, the Philippian jailer and his household, Cornelius and his household. That's by the lamb. The lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him, his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A man has to examine his lamb. You don't just sit down and take for granted you're here in the world. You don't want to play, you're interested to search out the world. The people of Berea searched the lamb and found it had no spot or blemish. Paul can approve all things and hold fast as is good. You have to examine your lamb. There's a problem with a lot of people right there are no redemptive blessings and no real deliverance. They don't have a lamb that could provide deliverance because a lamb with all kinds of blemish. Sometimes it's a she lamb they have to. That's a little church interpretation. But this lamb had to be without blemish, a male of the first year. First year means not just a year old lamb, it means first born lamb. Because in man and beast, the firstborn was God. Nothing could have come out of Mary's womb before Jesus. The Bible says, and Mary, Joseph did not know Mary until after the lamb opened the womb, which was God's lamb. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, 4 days, that is all day. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. It wasn't just the priest who killed it. All the people that are crying, let his blood be upon us too. The whole congregation of Israel had to be identified. And when he had to die, in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now notice, God is giving this instruction by the mouth of the prophet how to do it. This is the problem with a lot of people. They don't know what this salvation constitutes of. They don't know how to carry out the word of God as pertaining to their deliverance. You get that? They were being instructed specifically how to carry out the ordinance, which their redemption, the salvation, the deliverance was bound up in keeping it the way they were instructed. That's why you can't baptize how you want. You can't understand how you be baptized. You can't get 3 times back or 3 times falling in titles and all that. No, no. You have to be specific. Have to carry out just the way. All the instructions of God is like that. So watch. Because this was, why this was necessary? Because this was typing the real lamb. He was, when he's going to die, he's going to die easily. He was going to be without blemish. He was going to be a male. Is that right? And they shall take of the blood. Remember, the life is in the blood. Blood, shed blood, is a sign that a life has been given. And I want you to pay real attention. I really want to capture this the right way. For the church's sake. That as a Christian church, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand a little deeper of what your relationship with Him is. And when we have a feast like this, we don't undervalue it and lose the significance of it by living in a realm where we just shallow and take it as a tradition. But that we can enter in our heart and our with a clear mind as to what is the basis for our fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's why today you have a lot of people with knowledge and no power. The gospel is becoming too scientific and intellectual. The gospel is a supernatural gospel. There's a power in the gospel. There's a faith that comes by revelation. And sometimes God begins the circumstances to see you have word and no power. To see you have information, but you can't make it work. Sometimes God puts you in a circumstance where you struggle. And then I realize that can evangelize the Caribbean. That might be good for schools. That might be good for function under the Ministry of Education. Where you're pulling a tie and you walk in a school and you go in a classroom and you give a lecture about Jesus. But when you have to team a legion, when you have to deliver a soul, when you have to bring the powers of darkness, then you have to have God operating in you and through you with the word. Then you have to know you have anointed faith. You have spirit quickened, discerning the word in you, quickened, anointed to find things in the Bible, to see what you're dealing with, how, what is the divine approach. Otherwise, we'll have a church like with the prophet said, the man group come in, everybody tie and Schofield Bible and briefcase. He said, mine coming in straight jacket and a wheelchair and everything else. Our gospel has to deal with wheelchairs, straight jacket, and everything else. Our gospel can't be the polished gospel. And our power is in the blood of the Lamb, in the fellowship of this death and resurrection here. And that's why I want to capture this tonight in this feast in a real way for the church. Watch. Let this Easter be an Easter for you. Let this Easter be a reviving, a quickening, a raising up. Let this Easter be the same spirit that raised Christ dwelling in you, quickening your mortal body. Let this Easter be the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we can start from tonight right here. You're going to see where I want to get with this. Verse 7, you shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it in the form of a cross. A slain lamb and the blood applied in the form of a cross. And they shall eat their flesh in that night, roast with fire. This lamb has to go through fire. You get that? In Leviticus you read, it has to be kept by fire. Sometimes a lack of the fire. The people lack the fire. But remember, Abel's sacrifice had fire. There must be a fire of God, friends. A fire that God lights a man's soul with. That Holy Spirit to raise us up from where these things are not just dead ordinances. You get what I'm saying? Desire that tonight. And unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water. Can't water down this. Because you can't roast nothing that gets soaked with water. But roast with fire his head and his legs and with the pertinence thereof, the inwards. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That they roast this lamb that went through fire and eat the head. Eat the whole lamb head. So you start to think like the lamb. The thoughts of the Lamb will be in you. The mind that was in Christ will be in you. Because the head speaks of the thoughts, the intelligence. You have to eat the legs of the Lamb. So you walk in the will of the Father like the Lamb. The Lamb walk become your walk. You have to eat the inwards of the Lamb. So that the desire and the affection of the Lamb be your desire and affection. I can't handle that. Your life will always be selfish. Your life, you'll never have a holy man taste. You have to eat the inwards. You have to desire the Lamb. His motive is objectives. My meat is to do what my Father sent me. Definition of I must build my Father's business. I come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Continually, it was to do the Father's will. That was the desire. That was the burning desire in his soul. We have to eat that lamb. And he tells us what to eat. Man only wants the lamb chops. Man wants the nice fleshy part of the lamb. But they want to eat that head. Them two big eyes of the lamb coming out of them. I say, oh God. Everybody let them walk, stumbling in the dark today. Everybody let them can't see themselves in the world today. Eat the lamb head. Let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded. Your shoes in your on your feet. And your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The people who was eating this lamb after the prophet came, the people who were sheltered under the blood of the lamb and eating this lamb, was a people who had prepared to go out. They were travel ready. You get that? You can't be trying to get settled down this world and into this land. You can't be looking to climb the social ladder and advance your reputation in this world. It is people who already had pulled up every stake from that world who was eating this lamb. You see how we're going to keep in the feast today. They don't work for a lot of people. Why they don't benefit? Because they are not carried out according to the instruction in which it was given. It was a type. There must be a people. When this message comes, it comes from what? Preparation. When a prophet comes, it's a sign of what? Oncoming judgment. When the evening time comes, say, everybody get under Goshen into the only provided place. Put the blood over here. Don't you go out from under that, otherwise you perish. What's darkness in the earth? Then that means it's a time of desperation. Nobody was thinking at that time of staying back in Egypt. No, not one Israelite had a desire for something in Egypt. Because they had seen the wrath of God in Egypt. They had seen the plagues heap up and multiply until it didn't even have enough hospital or doctors to deal with all the viruses and all the plagues that was taking over Egypt. Every day was something else hitting them in Egypt. The whole system, locusts devoured the trees, the water become polluted, the fish was dying. The birds and the people, all in the house, disease was rampant. Is that right? Are you seeing that today? You seen disease on the increase? You seen disease, doctors and plagues that can't deal with? You seen God's darkness and them? You seen a prophet come at evening time? You understand what the feast is? I'm taking long this, but then I'll go. Postman, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Then how come we are seeing plagues that is smite the land of Egypt, killing believers too? Or who say they are believers? They're not in this feast. They might kill a believer. They might come to a pool and get baptized. They might wear Jesus' badge. You might have a Bible and they mark it up with all different colors, but they're not keeping this feast. If that could happen, then God lied. If that could happen, we find something in the Bible that God don't keep. My faith is God can't lie. My faith is God will keep the word. My faith can't be in flesh saying how to do all that and then they get judged to know. You get that? Not one jot or one tittle of this word shall anywise fail, friends. We have to get up people who believe this word. Not make believe it. Not play the believe it. Not sympathize with it. Not try to claim it and they line up with it. God will never people who will believe this word. God will prove this word by believers. Also in the Psalms, he said it. 1,000 fall aside, 10,000 fall aside, but the plague will not come nigh you. You are abiding in the secret place of the Most High. You get what I'm saying? This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. From your generations, you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. My title tonight is, let us keep the feast Now, what can you read a bit? Let us keep the feast. Verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Now, watch how the unleavened bread was linked with the Passover from the very beginning. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No man of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this feast, this day in your generations, by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, as you say, the kill the Passover, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. So the Passover and the unleavened bread was linked together from the beginning. In some places it was called Feast of the Unleavened Bread, but it's only Passover, but the Passover is only three feasts. It is Passover, unleavened bread, and Feast of the First Fruits. They went up the first month. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they kept up. Then they went back home. Then they come back in the third month for Pentecost. Then they went back home. Then they come back in the seventh month for Feast of Trumpets, they have atonement and the tabernacle. 3 times a year, they had to go. So watch these three feasts. I'm trying to bring it free tonight. So you can see, we have to keep this. This was just for Jews. This was for Gentiles too. But when it came to Gentiles, it came magnified. Not the shadow, but the substance. Not the shadow, but the substance. But I want you to see, in keeping the shadow, which was the lesser thing, which was the thing in the natural form, how specific it was. So when that shadow fade away and we come to the reality, the substance of the shadow, the real lamb, the real bread, then watch what it is. When it comes to deliver people from spiritual bondage, like it was delivering them from physical bondage, that they were born into by a physical birth. We've been born in sin, shame, iniquity, come to the speaking life. We've been born by a second trap in the realm of flesh. And we come under spiritual bondage, physical and spiritual bondage. And it had to take a greater lamb than that lamb to deliver us. Is that right? You're going to get it. I just want to keep you focused on what you're talking about. Verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. It's because the daily pass was one day, but they had to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. That's why many times they would call it the feast of the unleavened bread, because they kept it longer, but the pass was one day until the last. But then that didn't happen for 7 days. Begin from that first day. Verse 19. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. Now this is deep. Now we're getting into some deep stuff here. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a stranger or born in the land. Now from the time you're coming to this feast, there can be no leaven among you. You get that? From the time you're coming into this feast now, you could have no leaven among you. Leaven had to go. Now the problem is there's so much leaven when people try to keep this feast. What? No leaven shall be found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Is there one of the Jew or alien coming in the covenant of Israel? You try to keep that feast with leaven, you're dead.
речі, я не мені галсне.
You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. That's a beautiful statement. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. Hope you and the children of Israel, go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. My goodness. There was not a house in Egypt where there was not one dead. The cry was so great. But then it's very, before the day could dawn, they were looking and say, everybody get up. God, God, get out of here. Take your flocks. Go. Serve your God. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. So look at verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 450 years. It came to pass at the end of the 450 years, even the selfsame day came to pass, and all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. My title is Let Us Keep the Feast. My subject is It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord. Let's open the New Testament now. First Corinthians 5. May this be a real Passover for you. May this be a time in your life you will enter in to really keep the feast with God. And if you have lived in a surface realm and your thoughts are very shallow about the Lord's Supper and communion, what it is, may this be the time when your mind is going to expand, you're going to be enlightened to see what this really means to us. First Corinthians 5, verse 6. Your glory is not good. Paul, physically, Corinthians, this is 2nd Exodus. There's a prophet just like Moses who met the pillar of fire. This is the one who is calling them out of Judaism to bring them into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Watch how this feast moved from a natural feast. Your glory is not good. No, you're not that a little leaven. Leaven it the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that it may be a new lump. As you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Therefore, let us. He's talking to a Gentile church. He's talking to a church in Corinth. He's taking something that was in the Old Testament, give us an ordinance to the Jewish nation. He's telling the Gentile church, Christ is our Passover. Our Passover isn't the animal. Christ is the Lamb of God that is slain for us. Our leavened bread is not that loaf. Christ has become our leavened bread. And he said, let us keep that feast that them Jews keep too. But when we keep in this feast, Christ is our lamb. Christ is our bread. And what was the benefit? What was the things that they received that was considered in God giving that feast to them at that time? Then those realities, we ought to enjoy those same benefits in this feast. You don't keep God's feast. God's feast is based on our work. There is no eating a lamb, it was the deliverance from bondage. There is not bread of leaven and a lamb without blemish, because we're speaking of the life that could deliver man from the condition that man was in. Because man was in bondage and man had blemish. And he had to take one that is worthy to deliver the one that is unworthy. And next man who had blemish could come and deliver a man. In Adam we all die. God had by a new creation to provide deliverance for us. Deliverance couldn't come from our old creation. That's why David, a type of Christ, but he was born by sex. He fought the champion and he delivered the people. But what happened? A couple of years after the deliverer who delivered the people in adultery. Noah, come and build an ark and deliver the people from the flood. But as he gets in the new world, what happened to him? He became a drunkard. Is that right? Sure. Solomon, look at him, went in the idolatry afterwards. Showing what kind of they couldn't really be the reality and couldn't bring the deliverance because they were by sex. It was part of the old creation. Deliverance had to come by a new creation. That's why God couldn't bring a next denomination and raise up a next theologian and bring a next reformer to get us back to the beginning. God had to bypass all organization, handpick a prophet, born a prophet, keep it from organization, then the word can come true to deliver us and take us back. You get that? God was making sure we get the benefit. If we keep in this feast, there's a benefit. If you like, why a man get baptized? Well, if you use a man going to get baptized in water, come up and have no remission of sin. He go back and smoke and drink after. Will a man sit under a word that he don't get cleansed with and sanctified? And he's stuck in unbelief all your life, doubting and reasoning and wondering and can't manifest nothing. Will you use a man to live all that in form and ritual and never come to a new birth to get back to the Holy Spirit? Think of it. Then God, if you have to give man that, you have to provide something that has that in it. God will have to give a word that will cleanse a man. Because Jesus said, the word I have spoken have made you clean. Father, sanctify the man that truth that you have made him clean. Peter had a word while he spake, the Holy Ghost fell and they get a new birth. Is that right? The apostles didn't get a different than what Jesus had. They got what Jesus had. You know why? They kept the feast. They kept the feast. And they lived in the benefit of what the feast was intended to provide. They knew how to keep the feast. This feast that we are keeping, I'm just pointing here, but that's just the elements. That table reminds you we have a table. That table reminds you we have corn and wine and oil. Because it takes the oil and the corn to make the bread, and it takes the blood and the grape, the wine on the table. And that's the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles come together. You get what I'm saying? That's all for redemption on that table. Reminding us we have a table that has been laid for us. And that table is let the element be himself. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and the word in that table and the stimulation in that table. And when we partake of that, we live and walk with God in a certain place. You getting that? But the reason people live a church life and then keep a tradition, I'm saying don't live here. Let us keep the feast. Because we're doing that, we ain't keeping the feast. We're doing what denomination doing. Let us keep the feast. Paul was telling them, let us keep the feast. Christ is our Passover. said, eat the whole lamb. Eat the lamb. Not with old leaven, neither the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. See where we're going on? Here in the Corinthians, he's giving them this, telling them, we're going to keep the feast. I'm going to bypass 1 Corinthians 10 because, and 11, because that's what we read for the Lord's Supper. That's where he's going to the same Gentile church. And he, let's read it. 1 Corinthians, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 10. These Corinthians, they're coming the message. They've been called out from the world and all the heathen, paganism and these things. And now they were supposed to be fellowshipping around Christ. They were established by the prophet messenger of the age who had met the pillar of fire. It is God who used Paul to establish the Corinthians. God came up by a vision that church came up. He said, I have many people in this city. He said, stay right here, no man shall touch you. And Paul preached the gospel for 18 months. And that church started. And that the church tell, I am a wise master, but I have laid the foundation. Now, I want you to see in the epistle to the Corinthians, first and second epistles, he deals with the four feasts. Christ on Passover, Christ the unleavened bread, Christ the first fruits. And second Corinthians 3, he deals with Pentecost. The law not written in the table of stone, but the law written in the tables of your heart. And that was the foundation. Because that was what? The beginning of months. In other words, if that's the beginning, there's more to follow after that. God said, you're keeping this because this is your first feast you come to. Your Passover was the first month. But you're going to come back in the third month and you're going to come in the seventh month. And by the time you reach the seventh month, you're going to be in a new tabernacle. What begins in the first month will end in the seventh month. And you're going to keep that feast with me, and keeping that feast, each feast have a benefit. This feast is going to bring you to be identified with your sacrifice. It's going to put your sins away and deal with this question. This feast, you're going to give you the food that sustains you. You're going to know that the lamb is what you feed on. The bread is what you feed on. What you feed on is Christ himself. Then when you come to the next feast, the third month, which is Pentecost, you are going to come in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you ain't coming in the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, you ain't keep that feast yet. If you still living on that guilt, and still on that doubt, and still on that one day, and you're not sure to make it, and you're all nervous and tense, you ain't even keeping this feast yet. Baptized in the message for many years. That has nothing to do with it. You went into the water, come out of the water, but you understand it's so dark. Because when you keep this feast, there's a table. A table speak of what? Fellowship. You and God having a meal together. You know what to do that? The priest, when they offer the sacrifice to God, it had certain sacrifice, they and God feast together. Jesus feasted with them in the Passover. He and them eating together. And they understood that he was doing something on their behalf to make them like him. Friends, if they in the first Exodus ended to something, and the second Exodus they ended to something, they came out of Egypt. And they knew the enemy destroyed the Red Sea. They rejoiced and they danced when they saw that enemy destroyed. Then they drank water from the smitten rock that sustained them to the promised land. Then when they were healing, they had healing in the camp because they saw the brass serpent and the pole. Because they had come through those things. Then when they were entering the promised land, then they saw the ark in the midst of Jordan. Destroyed that! To open my way to bring them into the inheritance. They kept those feasts. In the New Testament, they had that same healing. They had that same deliverance. They had that same joy, that same power. They get filling and refilling from that smitten rock, that ever-present water. Because they knew Jesus died, the Holy Ghost was poured out. And when they needed another pouring, they had a pouring after a pouring. That the gifts of the Spirit among them. Why? That was the benefit of the feast. Then, if they have the first excess or the second excess, in the third excess, you have it. It's supposed to be that much greater today. And if a natural Jew knew the time and understood this season, understood how to keep the feast, how to make the bread. You know, every Jew make the bread. In the church, we have a sanctified person set aside to make this bread. You don't trust the bread in everybody. Can't everybody be your bread. On level. No level of the house. You know what I'm saying? Every man pour the wine. Over here, we are deacons, officers, ministers to handle it. Is that a different one? They have all kind of grapes. They plant the wheat themselves. We said I go in the shop and buy flour. We said I go and buy cooking oil. I mean, can't say the proof of that oil and sanctify the oil in the making. You know what I'm saying? We sanctify it here before we serve it. But back there, they keep the fish. They brought the first fruit. They brought the best of the oil. They brought the best of the wheat to offer in the Lord's house. This year is only the memorial. But your soul will be quickly raised up into the real feast. But that is the day where everyone ought to enter into. Hallelujah! Where everyone ought to enter that stimulation. When you and God point out your wine home, you're not waiting for a ticket to come bring in a cup for you. But are you home, you're driving your car, and the Holy Ghost passing the cup of blessing and say, take a drink. You home and he's breaking the bread and giving you bread. And then you break it, I say, bread to your family. Amen. You think somebody that pass a hand on a plate, you get sanctimonious about. You get me? You come into a place with God where you know your redemption. And this feast was the hidden secrets of redemption. Because this feast was Christ's death. Pentecost was the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Tabernacles was the new body. Amen. The feast had contained the hidden secrets of redemption. Amen. And they get redemption in part, in type. From a natural land to a natural land. From a spiritual condition to a spiritual condition. But in this day, we get the full complete redemption. We get the fullness of redemption. In this day, we come back to immortality. We come to a glorified body. When God comes to the second exodus, did he make it greater? Did he give him a greater land? Did he give him a better covenant? And better promises? Why did God make it better? Because he's unfolding his purpose. You think God will stop the purpose now in this day? This is yet to complete it. The mere fact that God's not a prophet like unto Moses, with a pillar of fire, like Paul and Moses. The mere fact the prophet with the token Passover is the rising of the sun, first fruit. You understand me? He went back and bring the things. He said, let us keep the feast. It's broken time. It must be on display. Everything outside will die. He's in the first fruit. He said, one approval to become the word again. Come back to maturity. It's wave over you. We are in the feast. But the word of can keep the feast. Look at him. He said, I'm that true with my wife. When I spoke, he that was the voice of the blood. He's arising his son. He's like, touch the telephone on his ear and the cancer fall off. So the first food is here. He was living by the benefit of the fish. He had entered the fish where it was more than a tradition. He understood the mystery in the time and the season he was living in. I'm saying, let us keep the fish the way he kept the fish. Don't you want to keep the feast tonight? Don't you desire to have that feast with God? Could you have such fellowship with God? God, just stand to your feet and speak. Whatever you say is going to happen. Could you imagine that? That's what God told him. Because that feast, God didn't talk to me, you talk back to God. That is what communion is. You talk to somebody and they talk back to you. You want to limit it to this physical table, this cup, and this? The feast is on. I told you Wednesday night, every one of those feasts have an interim application. This is the age we keep all the feasts. First church kept the first four feasts. The seven church ages. They come to the dry period. And now this last day church have to keep the last two feasts. Plus the first four too. This age, we are the only people who keep all of this. Because they all went up to go and die before Feast of Trumpets. He said, they were told and Feast of Tabernacles. They never kept the feast of this 7 months. We are the ones in this 7 months, the end of the Bible, is going to keep this feast and come to that new tabernacle. Amen. Then God is going to display to people the evidences of keeping the feast. That is one who is feast with me. I am that one who is feast. This one just loved the unleavened bread. This one just better make sure it made the finest of flour. He just keep the best flour. Sifted flour. Refined flour. Not about the fine flour. I mean sifted, no lumps in it. Everything even. He's the same yesterday, then forever. A bird from every piece. Perfect. Then you have oil. You ever go into the thing and buy virgin olive oil? That's what I'm extra virgin. You pay more money for. You get that? You ever see olive oil? Yeah. You bring the best. God poured us an anointing upon his church. An anointing. We have an unction that teaches us all things. He doesn't have an anointing. Make them roll on the floor and kick them chairs. We have anointed and teaches us all things. Saul had an anointing. David had an anointing too. Then Samuel anointed two of them, is that right? Saul got anointed with a vial of oil. David got anointed with a horn of oil. Saul was anointed with his father's trained asses. David was anointed with his watching his father's sheep. You get me? How are you keeping the feast? Everybody is going to church, but we don't have a Christian life in this world. Everybody is praying, but everybody don't talk to God. Some people are trying to engage God in the most confusing conversation. Because they don't know God at all. You know, people come to you, I want to waste time talking foolishness. And you get my hair, you know, you get my hair. But you, inside you say, oh God, lock off now, lock off now. Done now. How long have we had to go to this? I don't know. It's the same way when people go to an empty wagon rattling before God. God wants fellowship and the promise. Because God knows all the other things. He says, seek for the kingdom first, the other thing to be added. But they want to talk to God about all that. And when God talks to me, come to them about the promise. And they want to talk to God about all kinds of different things. because they're not in the same frequency that he is in. If they really walk with him, they will know what is important, what is not important. They'll know when to talk to him with certain things or when not to talk to him with certain things. See, but this is. Paul is telling them, let us give you nothing on a little bit. In Corinthians, had as much a level of the church. Man committing fornication, man carrying one to the court, man drunk at the communion table, man competing with the other one, trying to prophesy this one. See? All kinds of different things. And Paul said, what's the matter with you, Corinthians? Mammon, I'm of service, I'm of Paul. He said, let us put aside this, let us keep the feast with unleavened bread. No, you're not a little leaven, that's leaven the whole lump. All this leaven around the place, all that you're going to keep in the feast. You're keeping no feast. You could be fellowship with Christ, and then there's a mystery. Where is the power of God? Is he like a little child? Put away childish things. You can't think that the things are going like that. You're not coming on that level. He said, when you want to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you. Let us keep this feast. Put on a level prayer, a sincere thing to you. 1 Corinthians, quickly. 10, 15, 18. We are close. Let's finish up Corinthians. Because in Corinthians, you have the three feasts. I'm trying to show you, Paul knew that those feasts were prophetic. Paul knew that that wasn't a Jewish tradition. Paul knew the mystery concerning Christ. And Paul knew in Jesus the feast was fulfilled. And now the church was to keep the feast in Christ, the only provided place. And here was the church not understanding what the feast was. And the way they were keeping the feast, a lot of leaven they had, the malice and wickedness and hypocrisy. He said, let's keep it with the leaven bread of sincerity and truth. Let us put away the leaven of malice and wickedness. You want to keep the feast in that condition of your heart? You got all that leaven in your house? Remember Jesus telling him, beware the leaven of these kind of Pharisees, beware the leaven of Herod. You don't want the grum of your poor friends. You want to see what God promised by keeping the feast that you identify with and having fellowship with God. You benefited from this. If God had to talk to you about your Passover, when the lamb is slain, what was the lamb slain for? His name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. The lamb died, he became sin. His death's a penalty. The reason the lamb died, because the lamb became guilty. How did the lamb become guilty? Your sins was transferred to the lamb, and the lamb's sins was transferred upon you. Then how could you go on with a complex and your guilt and your doubt and your wondering and you ain't sure and you're eating the lamb? You mean you're eating the head of the lamb and you ain't started thinking them thoughts yet? You mean you're feeding on the eating the lamb's feet and you ain't started walk in that realm with God, that knowledge of your position in the world yet? You mean you eat the lamb intestines and you have to desire the lamb to please the Father? Then tell me, if you don't eat the inwards of the lamb, tell me where you're going to desire to please God for. You will think it. Where are you thinking of? You will. What is the lamb you have eaten? You want vitamin C. You take it to do a vitamin C, take a vitamin C. You want protein? You go eat to have protein it? You get protein? You get me? You want to see the power of God in your life? You want to see deliverance? You want to see victory? You want to see joy in your life? Where you gonna get it from? A source that don't have it? All of that is in the lamb. Is that right? So the blood is getting your lintel and be displayed. You have to kill the lamb. And killing the lamb is part of keeping the peace. That is identifying the lamb dead. Is that right? Because if you kill the lamb and the blood is applied to you, you murder the lamb, you know. And we'll kill it. Where is this blood, man? And you're just thankful when I see the blood. Oh God, thank you for the blood. A fountain is open that cleanses all sin and righteousness. And others who refuse to apply, shall apply to themselves. Verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge you what I see. Paul can encourage you. I speak to you as wise men. Wise men supposed to judge. Wisdom is judge. Judge you what I see. The cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? See the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. The bread and the wine. For we being many are one bread and one body. Look among us here tonight. But for all who will be taking the supper, there's a piece of bread for you. That piece of bread comes from one bread. That one bread is his body. And his body is broken up and part goes into those who keep the feast. You get that? Then inside of each and every one of us will have a part of his body. And when that part, all the parts come together, it brings back the one loaf. It brings back the one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are they not which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? He showed them back Israel. Then he goes into the heathen, which I'm bypassing it. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Because it takes the same nature for fellowship. Fellowship is like with like. An ant and an elephant don't fellowship. Fellowship has agreement, the same nature. That's why God had to make Adam an amateur of God, just like himself, in his own image, his own likeness. When he took up for communion, for fellowship. Otherwise, you're contradicting God all the time. So if you had a temple, a table of devils, and if you had a table of God, you're not going on. You had the nature of devil and the nature of God at the same time. What is going on? You're keeping the feast. Because the feast is not just eat and drink. It's fellowship with God. It's an outward symbol. It's an expression of a fellowship. Like water baptism. An outward sign that the inward work of grace has taken place. The water don't remain the same. But you're going to the water because it shows something happened on the inside. This year, bread and wine. But this year, it shows you have true communion with God. The communion scripture here. Now all this is to the Corinthians. Notice, he is establishing what? That first month, those first three feasts to them. That's what he's doing. He's laying the foundation down in the beginning of months. That was the foundation experience. He said, I as a wise master build up laid the foundation. If the foundation of the gospel is laid in you, what's the foundation of the gospel? What's the first thing you have to see to become a Christian? You have to see the Lamb that died for you. You have nobody who ever was a Christian or will ever be a Christian who never saw the Lamb that was slain. And that we have to see. You have to see your sacrifice. You have to see what God provided for you. You have to see the way to come to God. You have to see the Lamb that took your place and you and bore your judgment. And you have to accept that to show you have received God's pardon for your sins. Let us keep this feast. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord, and which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This too, in remembrance of me. As I told you, Moses, when he was giving them that in Egypt, they never understood for the first time there was a new thing coming to them. Now Jesus is closing off that ritual and filling up that shadow and saying, I am this bread all these years. This bread is my body. And this cup that is a drink to keep that Passover, this is my blood that is about to be shed for you. I am your Lamb. I am your bride. And when he was phase now that Jewish tradition, that ordinance, he was bringing the shadow to the substance. That one couldn't give them the Holy Ghost, that first one. This one was going to bring their life back in the believer. This one is not just the blood, the chemistry. But that animal blood had animal life in it. This one is going to bring his own life back in the believer. When you drink my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Is there, could you keep the feast and don't eat his flesh and drink his blood? Could you keep the feast and you have the Holy Ghost? Because the keeping of the feast is having the Holy Ghost. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. That was the bread and the wine. That was the word and the spirit. That's corn, that's oil, and that's wine. Corn and oil make the bread. And your wine comes from the grape. See? And that came because of the rain. The former and latter rain produced the two harvests. Because the three feasts were the three harvests. First month, barley harvest. Third month, wheat harvest. It is what God has blessed us with in our labors for Him. We are bringing it back as a sacrifice for Him. After the same manner, He took the cup. When He had supped, saying, "This cup is New Testament in my blood. This do you, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you shall the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Paul is telling the Corinthians, he says, all you keep in this feast with them. All you have malice and wickedness trying to keep this feast. He said, let me show you how the Lord keep the feast the first night. He said, this bread is my body. This cup is my blood. That sinless body, that blood, our direct direction, that blood is the blood of God. It says that then he knew that that was him who had to die, the sacrifice, to bring their deliverance from a bondage they were born into. Like Egypt, the Israelites were born in the body 430 years, they lived in bondage. All of them there, born in that bondage. But this feast was taking them out of that bondage. The first time they come to that feast, it was coming out of that bondage. There was such a power in keeping that feast, it was taking them out of that bondage. While they were keeping the feast, Pharaoh and them kept eating and said, "God, God, God! God, some of the God, the devil had to give them up. Couldn't touch them." And they surely, this is a night that have to be observed. My subject. This is a night here. Think of it, friends. To be much observed unto the Lord. If you can really enter into observing this night, you'll go home delivered. You'll go home delivered. You don't go home, they will come to the door. Don't you have faith? Isn't this the element? When you see that winding cup, what did it tell you? You don't know that Jesus died and shed his blood? Then why did he die and shed his blood? He's going to drink it. Without seeing his shed blood. And then if you see his shed blood, then your thought has to go, why was his blood shed? Was there life in that blood? Where is that life? If I'm partaking of it, am I a recipient of it? Am I entitled to have a claim in it? Did it do it for me? Was I considering it? If your thoughts don't go here, this is no different than when you eat home. Your attitude
makes it less. You don't receive that coming, but it kills you. Because they eat and worry for this cause, many are sick and weak and asleep spiritually dead. It kills you, but you don't get that from it. Well, if it could kill you by eating worry, what can it do for you by eating worry?
Isn't that something? You think it has power to kill? It kills. Read it in the Bible here. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, 27, and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so that he eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, say, you make sure and eat whole. Eat your food whole. Don't come to this table looking for your belly. You have nothing to do with your belly. This has nothing to do with your belly. This was put here for full belly. This was put here for fellowship, communion with God in your soul, understanding the victory of his blood, drawing you near, bringing reconciliation and peace, establishing you in union again, to give you strength and impart the blessings of God to you. As a believer, God, you come to this table with faith in your soul, not hunger in your belly. You get that? So he's telling them, no, catch the scripture, 1 Corinthians 5:6-8. He said, let us keep this feast of the Lord, let us sincere with them, truth, and wisdom after you all. And then now in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, he's telling them, he says, so you deal with the Lord's table. Some of you get drunk at the Lord's table. He said, eat your food home. He said, you come in and you know, like the New Testament in his blood. You ain't going to have half of the people in church sick and weak and asleep because they think that's not worthy. You know, they said, you don't feed food and wash, you go back and bath talk them. You know, they scorn this one and that one. And they know that bread is one loaf, ground in the flour and baked in a heated oven. To become a life loaf, it was a corner of wheat that become a bread of life, to bring life. And in that life, the bread is his body, and we are his body. The church is his body today. That's why the bread is broken up and going to the members of the body. And that's why when they come here, they remember him. He said, do this in remembrance of me. He said, do this in remembrance of Jesus. Could you come to that table unlike Jesus? Because Jesus stood there and said, my body will be broken for you. My blood will be shed for you. I'm the corner where you're going to fall and go and die here now. I'm that Passover lamb and unleavened bread here. But it's going to bring you deliverance out of the bondage of captivity that you're born into and living all your life. It'll be broken today. The price we paid today. And so, you will say, get sick and weak and asleep. You're going to get healthy, strong, and alive. You're going to get healthy, strong, and alive. You say, let us keep the feast. Jews under the Old Testament used to hold our bread in reverence without knowing Messiah. They would just corn the plant, but now they realize in that corner reed that the plant was actually Christ falling in the ground and die. And that whole harvest of corn that they get is a whole race of people who will come up in Jesus' image and likeness. Amen. They will be the living bread, the barley loaf that mashed up the Midianite tent and brought the deliverance was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon and 300 at harvest time, barley harvest. Why? Because they offer the burnt sacrifice and the Spirit of God come upon them at time of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they blow a trumpet when the locust invasion was trying to devour the increase of the land, but a sword of the Lord went forth. Just like it was in Peter and Dan. Because to be cut the law. Remember Gideon got a little bread? And the broth and the pot and he poured it upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And Jehovah Shalom come down. He said, I'm going to die. He said, no, I'm Jehovah Shalom. There's peace. There's no death. There's peace. And you will come into union. You will go up here. Oh, my. Get ready to come to this table now. Let us know what we're feeding on. Let our thoughts go a little deeper. If you desire a deeper life. I have to cut off the last part. Leviticus 23 and 1 Corinthians 15. Raising Christ, our first fruits. Christ, our unleavened bread. Christ, our Passover. Christ, our first fruits. The first three feasts in the first month. The wise master builder, he laid the foundation, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. Living, you love us, dying, you save us, buried, carried us as far away, rising, you justify freely forever. Someday he's coming. Oh, glorious day. He said, when you take this, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Could a man take this and he believe in the covenant of the Lord? He was eating that bread in his. The man who eats this bread here, knowing the coming Lord of God. Sees another prophet like Moses at evening time. When he sees the original atonement restored back. When he sees the mystery of the Lamb unveiled before us again. And the fountain of once more. And the same baptism of the Holy Spirit come back. And another mature one wave over us. We come right back. We know the coming Lord of God. They had not gone going back in Egypt. They were going out of Egypt. We are going out of this Egypt of this world. Let's stand up. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord. A night when they saw the Lamb came. When they saw the unleavened bread on the table. When they ate the bitter herbs. When they fed on the lamb. When they saw the great cry in Egypt. When they saw the enemy who stiffened his neck and hardened his heart and refused to let them go and had them shut up in his kingdom. Opened them prison doors and said, God, 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 God. Next, because all of you stay here, all of you is dead men. Saw the enemy terrified. Could you be feeding on this and you don't see the enemy terrified? Don't you know he nailed all his point, all principalities and powers? When you come up there and you just come for the couple you take it there. While you stand, you say, come back, and you say, Father, I believe in your shed blood. I remember I was a sinner, black, and sin. But wash it white as snow. Father, I know the change is off of me. Because that blood destroyed every molecule of sin in my life. Father, I know for that corn of wheat, you said you're the corn of wheat. I'm going to fall in the ground and die. You said you are the bread of life. If a man eat, he'll never die. Dear God, I'm only partaking of this as testimony, giving my witness that I feed of you, that your bread, you are the staff of my life. I live by you, Jesus. His blood flows like a river. That was a fountain that was open. His bread was the tree of life in the midst of God. It was himself, our meat and our drink. My flesh is meat and drink, and my blood is drink indeed. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can never die. That's why I put cherubim there. Because now it had to become flesh to die so man could partake of it. And man's sins could be put away. Otherwise, man would eat in a fallen body. Man would eat with his sins on a total fall. Think of it. But he put cherubim and he sealed it up. Knowing that one day this tree alive would be made flesh and blood. What for? The feast of Passover. And all those who were born by sex to Adam and Eve into bondage. Born into a bondage that they couldn't come out of because they only had one birth. But because through the bread and wine, through his body and broken, his blood was shed, a new birth was going to come. A deliverance from the bondage he was trapped into. Let us keep the feast. Every man is keeping that feast tonight. They deliver us from bondage. Every man who see that prophet come at evening time, who see all that constituted the original apostolic faith that was lost down to the age, that was replaced by grape juice, the little white wafer that they offered to the sun god, all these different things, the crackers, soda crackers and all these things, was cast away, and the original truth come back to us. The Lord's Supper, feet washing, water baptism, all the sprinkling and babies, all the kind of things, all the triune baptisms. Why? God bringing it all back to us. Because if we have to go out of the third Exodus, it must be original. When they went out of the first Exodus, it was original to them in the shadow. When they went out of Judaism in the second Exodus into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it was original apostolic church, apostolic doctrine. And if we are going out here into the Exodus, going into the glory, then it has to be the original thing come back. So we can keep the feast. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord. Let us keep. Let us make sure we don't have a level of malice and wickedness and hypocrisy in our house. If we have to derive the benefits, let us stick it right here. So will that be weak, will be strong. Will not be sick, will be healthy. Will not be asleep, will be awake and alive. Because in his blood, there is a victory.
That's why he cried, "It is finished!"
At your Calvary,
it is finished. Settle!
Strip the devil of every legal right. Any claim that Satan has in your life tonight, any chain that holds you captive tonight, you can walk free from that. And if you are living a life without the Holy Spirit, you can come, surely come into the feast tonight. To feed upon this one who is the Word and the Spirit himself.
I survey the wondrous cross. Paul will show these Gentiles.
He said the Jews keep the feast. These are ordinances. Do you know the Jews still keep the feast today? And do you know the Gentile church have gotten away from the feast? That they don't even know how to keep it no more. Spiritual death struck the Gentile church. But there's an elected call out, a nation from a nation, a bride from the church, a chosen people. Call out to the system by an anointed prophet that we can keep the feast. Let this Easter be a keeping of the feast. Easter was a time. The Passover weekend. And that day, feast of the Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread, and the feast of the first fruit. You will take that first mature one of the week. We got to have some mature people here. If we keep it this feast, how can we keep this feast? We have to have mature people here in this hour. Because to make that bread, they had to get mature wheat, barley, to make it with. It was a harvest time. They wasn't going to go and buy in a shop. They go in the field, they pick the sheaves. No man could have eaten nothing from that harvest until that first one was offered to God and waved. Then the harvest became accepted before God, in the one that was weak. They gave it to God. God consecrated it for them. God gave them a law. He said, no man, don't eat, no patch corn, no bread, no nothing. The land for a sheep, they brought to the house of God and weak. No Israelite could partake of anything until God got his due portion. That's why Jesus, when he rose, he said, touch me not. I'm not here yet ascending to my Father who's in heaven. That first one up from the dead had to go into the temple and wait for the acceptance of the others. Christ the first fruits, and they afterwards that are Christ at his coming. Think of it, church. We think of these things tonight. Get your heart. Get your mind. A little left. Let the whole lot. You don't know leaven, you know. Purge. Call the purge out the old leaven. That you might be a new lot. Leaven is a little bit of sourdough. And it has the action of fermentation. When you put leaven in something, the leaven puffs up. Whenever somebody puff up, you know there's leaven inside of them. And the leaven works silently, secretly, gradually, until the whole lump is leaven.
All the dough become affected by the leaven, because that leaven influence moves through the whole lump until the whole lump become like the leaven. And there were some people in that Corinthian church that was leavening others with their leaven. You get that? And he was destroying the work. Started by vision. There's been a church that was sick and weak and asleep. It could be alive and strong and healthy. Because they didn't know how to keep the feast. They failed to realize they were supposed to come a little higher. Because you know it's a greater Passover than what it was. The greater blessings and greater privileges. That's why there wasn't a feeble one among them that went out. That's why there was no sick among them when they went out. Because they kept that feast in sincerity and truth. That's why they could see all the enemies destroyed before them. That's what it is for. God wants to take you there, my brother. Sister, God will take you there. God will take all of us there. That's where you want us to live. As a church tonight. This Easter in the year 2001. And we as a church say, oh God, in this church, we want to keep this first feast. Then the feast of the third month. And then the feast of the seventh month. We want to keep all these feasts. Such reality that all the hidden secrets of redemption, all the blessings that accompanies these feasts, all the privileges that we are entering into, we want to see operating among us. All the redemptive blessings out of these redemptive feasts, this mystery redemption, from the lamb being slain until we come into a new body, from the feast of Passover until the tabernacles. May we have that, friends. Let tonight be a night where we truly keep the feast. When I survey. On which the Prince of Glory died. Oh, just enter into the spirit now. My riches came. Oh, Jesus, move among us. Free up every heart, dear God. Breathe upon this congregation now, I pray. Quickness and spirit realization. And pour contempt on all my pride. Let pride die tonight. Let there be humility, submission. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Debt of Christ, my God. The debt of Christ, my God. All the vain things that charm me most. I sacrifice them.
sacrificed to his blood.
Oh, lift your eyes and look to this Lamb now. See from his head where they placed those crown of thorns, those cruel men, and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Where they put those nails, rusty nails, in those beautiful hands to cleanse the leper. Where they nailed his feet, sorrow and love. Flowed, mingled down. Oh, think deeply, my friends. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thoughts compose a richer crown? Thoughts compose so rich a crown. Word the whole realm. What can we give back in return, friends? Of nature, man? That were a present far too small. Of nature, man. That were a present far too small. Do you feel the love so much tonight? Love so amazing. Here we can sing. We can become the very righteous of God. He will take our place in the true cross. Demands my soul, my life, my all. Sing in the spirit. Pour your heart and soul out. Don't go to the formalities. Worship God, friends. Sing with understanding. Enter into the feast. Let's keep the feast. Everything that has a left to it. All these things that charm us so much. We feel that we got to have it. It's so hard to give up sometimes. Tonight I sacrifice them to his blood. You want to be first in your life. That's the only way to keep that feast. The lamb was everything. They had to eat it. They had to be covered by the blood of it. And
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Bible says when you come together to eat, you want to tarry one for the other. That's why you want your thoughts to be in a moment like this. The word I've been preached to you to show you the feast wasn't just a tradition. It was a mystery of prophecy. It is only a shadow of a greater reality. And it had to be fulfilled in Christ in the church. That prophet messenger began to open up this mystery to that Gentile church, that they could enter in and keep that feast. Because many failed to grasp the realization in which they should be keeping the feast. And he told them that's why they were so sick and weak and dying. Because one of the 11 back there, that soul was cut off among the people. One who failed to have that blood correctly applied would die in that judgment. There would be no deliverance from the bondage he was born into. He had a lamb that was blemished or they failed to apply that blood in the manner, in the places where it was required and specified. They didn't have no faith attached to it. They failed to get the hyssop. Let's bring it from the wall and take that hyssop and apply it. It would be null and void. Yet when it comes to that greater feast, some was going about in such a manner that it wasn't even befitting for the shadow. He says, remember this feast, we remember Jesus. Remember the Lamb who died for us. Remember how steadfast he was to lay down his life. How he strived, resisting against sin even unto blood. Pray not my will, but thou will be done. And who for the joy that was set before him, despised the shame, endured the cross. He was so determined that our deliverance will be made sure. What an attitude we ought to come in tonight. And where we see our very own lives. That 11 want to get into our house and begin to defile. We come to this great out of the third hall, when all the redemptive blessings that goes with keeping the feast is to be imparted to us. Let us not be reverent. Let us be aware. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks. And gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it. But this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not henceforth drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He so knew that what he was going to do in that feast was going to bring us to that feast of tabernacles. Then his body will be changed and will be caught up in the air to meet him. And we'll go to the wedding supper and have that feast all over again. That's why we do show the Lord's death till he comes. But this is our great hope in this hour when he's come to take us where he is, there we shall be also.